Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, 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 that's my man, Mr. Keith, writing. He said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Welcome to another edition of the Parents for the Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. And as always, I promise you another wonderful show, a wonderful show, a show that will be very informative as well as entertaining from time to time. You know, last week we had some great guests that called in. And the lady shared some insight with us that, they experienced during the time period that their children were going through the recruiting process. Although my guests did not identify themselves and, talk more about their children, they talked about a lot of experiences that they had, but they didn't go into a whole lot of detail on who their children were. Believe me, trust me. When I say this, their children played at some of the highest levels in professional and college basketball that's out there on the market. And what I mean by that, played at some of the prominent schools, at least at the collegiate level, and now trying to move on, and in some cases moved on to play at the professional level. So, they was able to share some great things with us. So what are we going to do today? What are we going to talk about today? What am I going to share with you today? I got a few things to share with you, and then I'm going to go ahead and share a little additional information about the SAT, because I know that that's right around the corner. Folks, if your child has not started studying for the new SAT, and has only prepared for the old version of the SAT, this is the very last test, the very last go-around for that particular test. I'm saying this, I'm telling you this, I'm trying to share this with you because there are some things out there. Very simple, very plain, and very easy that this new SAT, there's some things out there that's telling me that this new SAT is going to be a must. Kids are going to take some time for them to get adjusted to the format and the way that this new SAT is going to be presented. Now, of course, it supposedly, as always, tests should be user-friendly. But I don't think this new SAT is going to come straight out of the market user-friendly. And I think this new SAT is going to come out of the gate with a big challenge. So I'm waiting to see the adjustment or the new adjustment to the sliding scale as far as points are concerned. And as soon as I get that, I will be posting that on my social media page. I will put it up on Twitter if I can get a photocopy of it, and I'll paste it up there on Twitter, or or if I can get it in 140 characters or less, I'll post it up there. If not, it will definitely be on the Prayers Culture Prayers Network page on Facebook. Folks, this is the last SAT for our children that has been working hard and studying and trying to figure out the strategy of the test itself. The new SAT will come into play, and once the new SAT comes into play, it has all together different format. And like I said, it's going to present some challenges for our folks, for our young folks. So if they're taking the one in January, all well, fine and dandy, great. They're waiting until March and put down that book that they've been studying. I don't care where they got it from. If it wasn't a book designed by a college board, and now hear me on this. If it wasn't a book designed by a college board and Khan Academy, then they need to put the book down. College board and Khan Academy. If it's just some literature coming out by a college board or some other company out there that think they have the market on the SAT and the test questions and the format, I would very seriously question that. Very seriously question that. He has given the exclusive rights to their test to Khan Academy. Spelled K-H-A-N, Khan Academy. And this Khan Academy has put out a tutorial for the new SAT, which will be administered as early as March. I'm not saying anything that's new, folks. I'm not saying anything that we don't have time to prepare for. Because I would recommend, based upon getting this information, if you're just getting it for the first time tonight, go to collegeboard.com, start looking at the new information for the SAT, and they'll start sending you information with updates and all this other kind of stuff on the new test. So realistically, your child can have 2 months to prepare for the new test. If he or she been grinding hard on taking the old test, which this is the last version of it this month, I believe it's on the 23rd. If he or she has been studying and working hard and being diligent on getting this information in on this old test, Allow them to take a break before they start prepping and working towards if they still need to take the new test. Don't throw them right into the March version. If they're taking the one here in January, give them a little break. Let them study. Let them get themselves together. February and March, and jump into the very next one that's made available. But don't throw them right into the March. That's just a recommendation that I'm putting out there, because it's going to be such a difference, and they're going to go in there with that old strategy. Once they see that test, they're going to go in there with that old strategy, and once that old strategy is probably sunk into their head because they've been working real hard on trying to maximize their points. They go in there with that old strategy, and the new test will blow them away. So allow them to take a little break, get themselves together, take a look at the new test, study, you know, through Khan Academy. And I'm suggesting, strongly recommending, that is the only source of information that you need to go to. Khan Academy and look and see what they have to say about the new test. And then once they get familiar with it, once they get to the point where they're comfortable with it, then get them registered for it and get them in there. Again, folks, this SAT, the new SAT, is coming out. It's right around the corner. Each and every time I see any new information pop up on it from collegeboards.com or their site or wherever, I'm trying to get it out to everyone, you know, so stay tuned. Keep an eye on what we're posting on Facebook and on Twitter, because hopefully this information will help you and your child get the best out of what we have here. Well, like I said I have some information for you on SAT, and I'm going to go into that here in a minute, folks. But, you know, as always, I play a little something just to make sure that you know that you're listening to
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Is highlighting the standards in Virginia, those same standards may apply to your area as well. So anytime you have an opportunity to check on it, verify it, make sure that those standards don't apply or those standards do apply, because you want to know what's going on. You want to give your child the best possible opportunity to get the highest score, maximize their score as much as possible.
Also, in the SAT, they have low high score, competitive speed, and math. A lot of people come to say, I want to get a 900 score. So that's not going to get them where they need to be. So I'm going to tell you, I'm a strategist. The sports strategy go along really well. And I believe in knowing your opponent. But when I say, I want to get myself the SAT is your opponent. Better to know your opponent, the better chance you have of getting what you see out of them. And SAT's all about intimidation. So if you don't think you can be intimidated, go ahead and try the SAT right out of the bucket without any prep work or getting ready. Okay? And it will knock you off the stop. And the reason is, Virginia students are trained, lifetime trainer from third grade till 12th grade. If they're all in Virginia, you have an entire school day to take one exam. There's no students to be rushed to finish it as well test. They're taught to answer every question and to work on the entire test thoroughly, and then they go into an SAT that's an exam, one after another, 20 minutes each, and you don't need to do all the items in an SAT to get a high score. Most kids have no idea what the SAT is about, how it works, and so forth, and that's why they're not going to do
it. Now, folks, you know, things that my guest is talking about,
and some of the things that I want to highlight here. She is referring to the old SAT, the SAT that will be administered for the last time this month. This month, we will try to get her on live to stress some points and highlight some things for the upcoming or the new SAT prior to the first one being administered. Hopefully we can get her on live and she can share this information with us live and we can dialogue and get some feedback and ask some questions and all these other great things. So be patient, folks. We're getting this information out to you. But this is for the for the old test. This is for the test that's going to be administered for the very last time this month.
Thank you.
Because one test you take, the other thing doesn't count. It counts for the people who write the test, but not for you. And that's one of the things they do. They put a test in the beginning of your experience that you take, and you're gung-ho, and you're at your best, and you need to count. You have to be very careful that you do your best on test number 10, as well as test number 9. You're going to go at 7:30 in the morning, you're going to stay there 5 hours, and you're going to take 10 exams right back. Trust me. And you're not, if you don't know that ahead of time, your body will not last for you. As you won't. All the answer choices there are. There are 5 answers for items, there's no graphics, English reading, or writing. There are limits to graphics and math. The good thing about that SAT math is it's straight math. It's not the SOL, jumbled up, less tricky today math, okay? Very much just straightforward math. Know your mathematics, you'll be able to excel in the math section, okay? That's very good news for people who are strong in math. Not a lot of stuff to read through. Wrong answers count against you in every section, except for the student-produced responses in the math section. And you need to know that, because it's repeated by a problem where it doesn't count against you in the same section. So you need to do that part first, because it's not going to hurt you. It's going to do the eight problems in the front, where something can hurt you. Okay? Let answers do not count against you in the entire section is revealed that I told you that. Now let me explain what it is to you. Okay? This is the key piece of that thing to understand. When you're in elementary school, your teacher may have given you a popsicle stick or a sticker or something for being good. Shake your head if you remember we take your reward. Okay? And you would earn these rewards, and if you misbehave, some teachers would do what? Take them away. That's exactly right. Think about that little thing going on. You ever made a popsicle stick as your reward? So in the SAT, you get an answer right, you get a popsicle stick. If you get an answer wrong, you can leave back some of your popsicle stick. If you leave it blank, you keep your popsicle stick. You don't get it. And you don't have to finish. Lots of kids go, oh boy, I got 2 minutes left, but I've got 5 problems. The 5 hardest problems on the test. I'm guaranteed you, you're getting them wrong, and you've got 2 minutes left. So leave them blank. And you don't lose your confidence. I have kids who earn 650, but get 540 because they can answer everything. Why do they do that? Because they've been trained to do that by public school educators, which I want for their entire school career, answer everything. Never leave anything blank as a team. You can leave things blank strategically. I tend to say, oh, I don't see the whole thing blank. What are you going to get is fun. It's all about getting what you get right. It's holding on to it and not letting problems go, because I think I can figure that out. The answer what you know the answers. And here's what I don't do. The questions are in order from easy to hard. The easy ones count the same as the hard ones. I tell you, do every single inch of each of the problems. If you don't get to the hard ones, nothing wrong. But you should be able to do every easy and medium problem. And that will give you a very respectable score. Very respectable. Answers are in order from easy to hard. In every section, that's the reading part. The reading part is different. Because it mixes the difficulty up, which means the first question can be the hardest and the second question the easiest. But basically, I tell students, go back on and ask you to read. If you have to read one line, that's an easy question. If you're asked to read 2 to 8 lines, that's a medium question. And you're going to get about 20 to 30 of those. And then if it tells you to read the whole thing, the question says, after reading the whole passage, and you know that's a hard question. Do that one and do the easy medium one first. That way you've got the best chance of using your time to your advantage. Remember, you want to keep your popsicle stick. Why are you spending 5 minutes on one hard problem that you're most likely going to wrong? And I'm not insulting your ability, I'm acknowledging that PhD writes these exams and they're really good at it. They might have your computer. Well, they use football, and football. They do a lot of things called intimidation tactics. So when the children were by the stage playing the glass plate of Venus, they would come out with their fingers floating, bringing the JV team, looking around, making everybody look like, whoa. And then when they come to the line, they're huffing and they're grabbing, you can't get any party, and the mission player went along. That calls humiliation. If you walk into the SAT and you haven't dealt with some of these things, you're going to look at those words and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to learn the English language. Because they're perfectly safe. I'm going to hate you. That's perfect. So you've got to get past that intimidation and look for where you can do your best. So you're going to have to play pieces. Or you're going to play that best team wherever they are. And you can defeat them. If you defeat them, it's the best score you can get. And it's the best score that your ability can get. You know a lot about your quote. There are three content areas with possible 800 points for each one. The one that qualifies for your scholarship are these two areas of reading and mathematics. So you have a possible 1,600 points there, and the NCAA asks you to get anywhere from, you know, 800 to 900 to 1,000, whatever. If your GPA is really low, you're going to have to get a high SAT. If your GPA is very low, the chance of you getting a high SAT is kind of happening. It's much easier to get your GPA up and get a reasonable expectation out of the SAT. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. Really work on the GPA. It's easier to improve your GPA than it is to knock the SAT out of the bar. Unless you're a brain genius who's just been playing the game every day in school. You know, just kind of like, I was just brushed. I didn't want to do this. I don't know how that would happen, but I know it does. Okay? All right, the critical reading section has three parts. They're about 25 minutes long. See the number of questions here. There are, of these 57 questions, 19 questions are filled in blank. I've worked with hundreds of students over the years, and that's where I've had the biggest benefit. They don't know how to do the fill in the blank. The words are intimidating. They've seen the words before. They don't know what they are. They don't know how to do those kind of questions. So of all the skills that I can showcase here, I'm going to showcase how to do the fill in the blank. Because that's 19 questions you could get right if you really worked in that area. Okay? Each section list begins with sentences so you can continue through the passage. Okay? They all these sentence completions go in order, which is hard. They can have one or two blanks. Let me show you how to write your place. They have eight questions. Some of them have one blank to fill in, so that's two. But they choose the next one. Number one has two blanks. Number two, one. Number three, one. Number four, two. Number five, two. Number six, one. Number seven, two. Number eight, one. Because they do that so that your brain has a ping pong between strengths. It's just like, one of us here, and I come up here, and I go back to this, and I go back to this. So I tell students, do all the one blanks first, and come back and do all the two blanks. Or do all the two blanks first, and come back and do all the one blanks. Then you play the game. Cool. If you're playing it, choose your advantage instead of the test advantage. You see what I'm going with this? So if I teach you a strategy for the one blank, just follow those. And then choose a strategy which is completely different to the two blank altogether. Because that's how you change your score. That's how you teach your staff and say, okay, I'm going to try to show you how this works. So there's one blank. 100% of the time, the answer to the blank is in the sentence. 100% of the time. And you know where students go or test takers go? They read the sentence, they see the blank, and they need to go to the choices. And if they're thinking of the choices, it's absolutely the wrong thing to do. When you look at the one blank, it's a sentence, and you look for the answer, finish, you go to the choice. If you have an answer in your head, will be ping-ponging over all the choices. And here's what we're going to do. Normally, if I work with a student, I would show them the choices because they immediately know the choices and start thinking in. And that's exactly how it's going to teach you. Exactly. So what I'm going to show you is that students can be a blank element in family class. Come. Bring them together, times of trouble and times of joy. In the IAT, the answer to that blank is in the words of this sentence. If there is a punctuation mark here, a colon, a comma, a semicolon, and the blank is on this side, the answer is on the other side. And the the branch on this side of the comma that answers on the other side of the comma. In this case, Susan being laid down and saved his life, if I start taking all those words in, every single word works. But they don't match the exact definition given in the sentence. In other words, bringing them together is the operative verb here, okay? Keep the prepositional phrases. Don't know what a prepositional phrase is. You're going to have trouble in the SAT, okay? These are phrases that they combine this set right here. Bringing us together is the exact definition of the answer. It is positive or negative.
Positive.
You want a positive answer. Now let's look at the word. And attention. S is the root. Is it positive or negative? Okay. It's a negative word. Okay. So could it be the answer? No. All right. Let's look at the second one. It starts with the letter C O N. Positive or negative?
Negative.
Could it be the answer? No. The next word starts with U N I. What is the prefix U N I mean? One. Is that positive or negative? Positive. The next word starts with R E. R E means to do something again or go back. Is that positive, negative, or neutral? It's neutral. R is a neutral prefix. And what about the last one? It starts with I N. I N. Is I N positive or negative? Next. Now, these words should be recognizable to you. When you take the SAT, they will look like Chinese. If you don't know your prefixes, all those little ins, not, non, x, a, all these little things that come in front of words, and know if they're positive or negative, you can't sort the Chinese. You can sort words, you have no idea what they are. If you know about prefixes, and what they are. Okay? So we have to add to this list negative, negative, positive, neutral, negative. What do we want bringing this together? Positive. So if it is Chinese, could we get the answer right? Yes. Do you know what people do when the words are in Asia? When the words are words they don't know at all? They pick the words they know a little about, even though they have nothing. See it all the time. If they have another one word in the list, they pick that word. And that's exactly what you call a sucker punch. Because you just fell to the trick they got. If you read your material, they'll tell you that fill in the blank is based on previous suffix and root. The stuff you can learn is the second grade. The prefix suffix and root that they use on the SAT come from the second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. That's it. No high-level prefixes. No high-level roots. Absolutely no high-level suffix. All second and third grade suffix. But the SAT, not really. It's what you think it is, if you know how to run the case. So, 100% of the time, the answer will be in the sentence. I tell you, go look at all the spot those zip lines in your own mind and match it up, or you can use the word from the left or right. Now, if you word from the left or right on Chinese, you're going to have to go with your first response, okay? But hoping to break through the skew, what word was doing that like from your own mind? Hoping to break through the skew. What would the negotiators want to be doing with the skew? So how would you look at me? Because all of you that are searching the choices, you are falling for the matrix. I'm watching you all do that. And I'm sitting here going, oh, you're going to make it. Because you're blind to those choices. And you take everything you have to take your hand and lay it over the choices. I'm going to show you how far there. When you are reading an island in your peripheral vision, you are already considering choice A. Before you finish reading, and where do you think they put the best wrong answer? In the first choice. So you have to be very careful when you take any test. You got a lot of A's in your answer. You probably got a lot of wrong answers. Because that's where the best thing is going to go. Because test writers study. You're on their bulletin board. Your picture is up there. Here is what we're going to do. We're going to take these people out. And we're going to use intimidation, and we're going to use behavior that they've learned in school and destroy them with. Okay? So I want you to back out of the chat like this. Okay? So you said, hoping to what is in here? Gosh, that is great work. Let's look at the word on the left. Which word on the left means stop? And what else? Resolve? Anything else? Over and off. Okay, we got three words and a two word to stop. Okay, now watch this. We said this one and this one are not correct, right? So we're going to mark them out, but we're going to take our pen and go all the way across. Okay? When you go all the way across, you eliminate the answers that would make you question. Because what's left is one positive and two negatives. If I think unattractive, acceptable. When you have two negatives, one positive and one blank, both they change. The positive one is not acceptable. You can have two negatives. You just have to be a strategist. And what am I telling you this? Because they do this on purpose. And you have to come into this game prepared to go at them at their own game. So like I said, I work with kids and I teach them strategy. And I teach them English, I reading, and math. I teach them the test book. The first thing I have to do when you sit down with me is I take the test book, start on page one, and we're going to walk through it. Show you what it looks like. I'm going to talk to you all about its characteristics before every teacher's strategy. Because you, what you all do when you play somebody, you watch film, right? Why do you watch film? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that you can plan what you're going to do, right? That's exactly how you take it as they see. Look at them, look at all their tapes, and you plan what you're going to do. So, that's what it does. I have two students in the business. I'm working with coaches in the area. I do volunteer work here and there. I teach kids all over the place. I'm completely booked for every single day. I'm getting a kid to help me with the SAT and for the main exam. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just giving you information. PowerPoint is full of what you need. I can't possibly see all the students in Virginia. And I don't want to have a business or anything like that. I just want to help kids and come across my path. It's best if you work as a coach. It's not trying to go out to high school and work with several members of the team at once, because that way it's like helping more kids. So I have a good relationship with Warren, Mitchville, and even Disney, and I live in the New York area, so I kind of play with the relationship. But I just want you to know, you need help before you take the SAT. If anyone tells you to take the SAT and try it out, tell them to jump on the bridge and try it out. Terrible ways to answer questions, and then somebody's going to have to teach you how not to do that.
folks. Hopefully you picked up something from Ms. Paula Brown. And as Paula says, she's not doing this as a business venture. She's just simply doing this because she loves working with young athletes here in the Virginia area. But those tips that she gave out and that little bit of strategy that she shared with us tonight is valuable with the SAT. Now, again, I have to stress the point that we're only talking about the current SAT. We're only talking about the SAT that will be administered later this month. We are not talking about the SAT that will come out as of March. Things like March 3rd or March 6th, where the test actually will be given. I'll tell you in a minute. I think I have the schedule here. Pull it up. The actual test for the month of March will be March. Oh, I believe it's March the 5th. March the 5th. So if you're taking the test on March the 5th, nothing that you heard this evening on from Ms. Paula will apply. But everything that you heard this evening from her will apply if your child is taking the test this month in January. And let me double check and make sure I know what date that is. January 23rd is test date. January 23rd is test date. So if your child hasn't already registered for that test, January 23rd is the test day. If they have registered, everything that was shared this evening by our guests is some valuable information for the January 23rd SAT. Again, if it's March, then I would go back to the drawing board and just strictly focus on taking that. Because the one thing that they're doing, and as she shared that strategy on you know, the words that our children see on these tests, and the test to me has a little bias to it, but that's a whole altogether different subject and something not to worry about at this current moment. But one thing that she did stress, and I know to be a fact, on the new SAT, we will no longer have these words that children are not familiar with. That's why I said that that the SAT is a little biased and it has some issues, because it had terminology and language that the average high school student is not familiar with. It's not something that's taught in their curriculum. So, you know, to put that on the test, it's almost, you know, especially if you're talking about the average high school student in public school, you're not going to see as many of those words that you would have seen on the SAT. And I think that in itself is a problem. That in itself is a problem. If anyone has any information that they want to share on the SAT, the new one or the old one, or some experience that they had, you can always give us a call this evening, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095, and just chime in on the conversation or ask your question or, you know, just throw something out there, experience that you had that you can share with our listening audience that your child may have overcame due to great practice. You know, that's all I'm saying. And that's always something good to know. You know, other experiences that folks may have had. Experiences that folks had. But, again, the new SAT is altogether different. It will have some new stuff on it. If your child wants to test out and try the ACT, ACT is more curriculum-based. ACT is more curriculum-based. Again, if you want to call in and just share some thoughts, ideals, or some experience that you may have had or your child may have had, should I say, then by all means, please do. We always welcome callers. And any information that we have posted this. Actually, it is a video. We have posted a video up on our Facebook page previously. We'll probably post it again, but it's not going to be something that will stay up there because I realize that if it stays up there, someone may think that it applies to the new SAT and start using that strategy, and as a result, it not work out for them in the long run. But always, if you have any questions, reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at PCP Network. Or you can just simply send us an email at PCPHR@AOL.com. PCPHR@AOL.com.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and wins 23 annual championships for those sports in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. You know, we're winding down to the last few minutes. I've had some good dialogue on the NCAA's SAT, the SAT. Some great insight from Ms. Paula Brown, who is an SAT or testing expert, should I say. Paula has been in the business for a number of years, and she has shared some great information with us this evening on simple strategy on taking the SAT. Again, I have to stress the point that the SAT that she was referring to this evening, old version, which will be administered the very last time on the 23rd of January, will be administered the very last time on the 23rd of January. After that, the new SAT comes into play, and the very first testing date that will be available will be March the 5th. March the 5th. If you haven't already registered for that test, you may want to go ahead and register for that test. Again, folks, if you have been stressing and grinding and studying hard and diligently over the old version of the SAT, I would say take a little breather in between before you attempt to take the new SAT. because there is some information on there that may not necessarily, well, may throw you off, and I don't want that to happen. I want everyone to have a fair opportunity to do their very best, to do their very best on the SAT. Well, folks, you can find us each and every Sunday night at 9:30 here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here just for the parents. You know, we're here to share information on, you know, what we need to do for their children to get into school, to get that athletic scholarship, or get that financial aid if they're going into a Division III school. You know, they heard the little infomercial from the NAIA. Let me tell you about the NAIA, folks, and hopefully I have somebody on to give us an update and some more information on what's going on in the NAIA world. But the NAIA is somewhat different than the NCAA, and actually I think it's a better format if you're not stuck on the prestige or the NCAA. And the only reason why we're stuck on the prestige of the NCAA is because it's in our face 24/7. Every school that we hear about, see about on TV, read about in the newspaper is normally a NCAA school. But NAIA has a huge program as well, large number of schools out there, and athletes can go there, play at the Division I, II, or III level at an NAIA school as well. Greatest thing I like about the NAIA is that their coaches are able to come out all year round to look at some individuals, to look at some talent, to see if there's some kids that they're interested in. So that's a great thing, huge thing. Well, folks, you know, I'm getting down to my last few minutes here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. I just wanted to share that information with you for the very last time on the NCAA SAT, or excuse me, keep saying the NCAA's SAT. The collegeboard.com SAT. Again, the new SAT will be hitting the streets here real soon. Get a chance, you go out there. I want you to Google collegeboard.com and Khan Academy. collegeboard.com Academy. That should take you straight to their website. And from there, you can register, start taking some of the practice tests, which is a legitimate practice test. And I guarantee you, if you start working on those practice tests now, hopefully by the time March rolls around, you'll have no problem with the SAT, or again, you can always reach out there and take the ACT if that's something that you're a little bit more familiar with. If you're a very good student, you know, Ms. Paula stressed the point about if you haven't been working on your math and you're not a very good student in the first place, then to get out there and think that you're going to take the SAT and knock it right out of the park, you may want to think again. Well, folks, you know, at this point, that's all I have for this evening. It's been fun. It's been real fun. Again, the Parents Coach Parents Network is here for you, parents, to help you understand the recruiting process, help you assist your child through that process, make sure that he or she gets the best out of the process. Now, we're not talking about strictly basketball. We're not strictly talking about football. We're talking about any sport. I have a number of other guests that call in from time to time, number of parents around the country that simply share their insight, like the lady we had on last week. We had folks coming in from Texas, New Jersey, and North Carolina, and they all shared and Maryland, and they all shared information with us on, you know, the things that their children were able to do. But again, you can always reach us on Facebook. You reach us on Twitter at PCP Network. Hey, if you have any questions, reach out to us. We're here for you. I'm going to close out, let my man Mr. Keith Wright play his little piece there. Hopefully Keith is still listening, checking us out from time to time. Graduate of University of Harvard, plays some ball up there. Now I think he's overseas, or he may be in the business world. If he's in the business world, I'm going to reach out to him. Let him give us an update on what he has going on. But I'm going to close out with this piece here, folks. As Keith says at the end, he's making smart cool. That's how he does it. He's making smart cool.
student of the game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.